You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Ebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across all sorts of platforms. Make sure to go ahead and check us out live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network. We're also on the free Odyssey app. You can check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network, and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit me up on social media. But you better come correct on this Friday. Hit me up on social media at Femi Ebefe on Twitter, at Femi_Ebefe on Instagram. We are active in those IG streets. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Friday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Kassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Addie Bates, Nick Kostos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's game of the year in the NFL. Seahawks beat the Rams, come from behind to beat the Los Angeles Rams 38-37. Nick will give his thoughts on that coming up at 4 o'clock. I'll give my thoughts on that rather shortly here. But we do have three guests joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern time. College football betting analyst for the Action Network, our good buddy Colin Wilson will check in with us. Colin, of course, does an awesome job on the Big Bets on Campus podcast. He's going to give us his best bets for the college football playoff, which kicks off tonight in Norman, Oklahoma. We got Alabama and Oklahoma going on. And of course, the three games tomorrow on Saturday. So best bets for the CFP from our guy Colin Wilson at 5 o'clock. At 5:20 Eastern time, our BetMGM Network teammate Ryan Horvat will check in with us to give us his best bets for the CFP. Always good catching up with Horvy. Then at 5:40 Eastern time, betting analyst over at The Ringer, part of The Ringer Gambling Show, Raheem Palmer will once again join us here on You Better You Bet. Give us some best bets in the National Football League. Plus, tonight's heavyweight bout between Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua. Yes, it is happening. It is real. There is a betting market for this fight. And we will talk to Raheem about this fight later on at 5:40 Eastern time. But let's go ahead and get into what we saw last night. Because boy, oh boy, this bad boy lived up to the hype. Game of the year, like I said, Seahawks beating the Rams 38-37 in overtime. I mean, we were talking about this game all throughout the show yesterday, all week long for that matter, about how big of a game this is. Two 11-win teams. We'd never seen that on a Thursday night football stage. Two teams that we talk about as Super Bowl contenders in that category. Like, it felt like the Seahawks, the game was nuts. Seahawks barely had the ball for the whole game, it felt like, but they were just hanging around. We got a punt return touchdown. Puka Nacua's going off. During the game and after the game, as I hit my microphone, MVP at stake, first place at stake in the division, NFC's number one seed at stake. This had all the makings. And of course, because it was so damn good, we also got free football. We went to overtime in this game. The atmosphere, it's Seattle. The atmosphere is always legit. Atmosphere was legit last night. The only thing that was off with last night's game, and I tweeted about this, were those funky ass alternate uniforms that the Seahawks were wearing. I don't know what that was. Like this was 2007 Oregon Ducks type stuff. Like, maybe the kids liked them. I don't know. I tend to be a uniform traditionalist, but that was the only thing that was off about last night's game were those alternate unis. But boy, oh boy, this was one hell of a football game. And man, how about the journey that Sam Darnold took us on last night? How about it, man? Because like, the biggest development from last night was what happened with Sam Darnold. And perhaps Sam Darnold earning his stripes as a big-time quarterback, because the stage was set. Big game, first place on the line, one seed potentially on the line. Can Sam Darnold play well in a big game? And for the better part of this game, he stunk. He looked like the same old Sam Darnold. I mean, I'm watching the game. First quarter, it's like, okay, you know, he looks a little bit antsy in the pocket, not super comfortable. This looks a lot like some of those other Sam Darnold games we have seen on the big stage, particularly last year's playoffs. So we're off to a bad start. We're off to the per usual start with Sam Darnold. Getting fooled in the second half on some coverages, like throws a bad interception in the, on a third down in the third quarter where it's like, maybe the Seahawks can get something going. They're only down by two. Like, let's see if Sam Darnold can really find things here. Throws a bad interception on a slant route. Throws a horrendous interception to Kobe Turner deep in the red zone on a third and goal. And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, and everyone else I'm sure is thinking to themselves, this game is over. I mean, just based on how Seattle was calling plays, like, you could tell, you always know how a team feels about their quarterback with how aggressive they are. And Clint Kubiak, I tell you what, I'm not like an offensive genius. I don't pretend to be grinding the film, but you could tell that Clint Kubiak was clearly hiding Sam Darnold in this game. He didn't fully trust Sam Darnold, because how could you? All we've seen of him in these spots and in these moments are bad plays. It's choking. It's bad decisions. It's stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out, what's left of it. Like, it was never good from Sam Darnold. And for the better part of this game, that's what it was. And I even retweeted my own tweet that I had from the first time that these teams played. And I was tweeting about how, hey, these are the kinds of games against the Rams. This is why the Minnesota Vikings moved on from him during the offseason. Like, I was rehashing all that stuff. Everyone else is burying Sam Darnold as well. We're burying the Seattle Seahawks in terms of winning the NFC West. Hell, this was so interesting because Ernest Jones, the linebacker for the Seahawks, after the game, he told the reporters on the field, he said that the Rams players were laughing at them in their faces, thinking the game was over. We all thought this game was over, but as the old saying goes, he who laughs last, laughs best. And it was Sam Darnold who laughed best, because after that second Darnold interception, with the Rams leading 30-16, That's when all hell broke loose in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, what an insane fourth quarter. After being super aggressive during the first half, Sean McVay, I thought, went pretty conservative in that fourth quarter. Rams, they go three and out after intercepting Sam Darnold, punting the ball to Rashid Shaheed, who takes it 58 yards to pay dirt. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'm texting people prior to the punt return saying, hey, you know, like this looks like it's over. I'm texting our show chat. Hey, this thing is done. I'm texting other people that I bet with. Hey, this thing is over. Starting to cross off guys from my MVP bets. Being like, oh, like, I guess that's not going to win. This is not going to win, whatever. And we'll have the MVP conversation in the next segment. But like, I'm crossing all these things off. Oh, no, here's Rashid Shaheed, 58 yards to the house. Seattle converts the two-point conversion, and all of a sudden, now we have a one-possession game. After all the bad that has happened for the Seahawks, we have a one-possession game. Well, with a one-possession game, what did the Rams do on their next possession? Did they go back to being aggressive, go back to kind of pushing the envelope, forcing the issue? No, it was another three and out. Pass, 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 off the field. The drive took a minute. That's like the last thing you want to do. You're up eight in the game. Let's take some clock off. Let's slow things down. Let's take out the energy from this building. Nope, we're going to go three and out. And the Seahawks get the ball back. First play, here's Shaheed again on a nice little end around. Boom, big play now deep inside Rams territory. Next play, Sam Darnold wide open. AJ Barner in the end zone. And all of a sudden, now we have a two-point game. Like in a blink of an eye, here we are with a two-point game. And then, because this is where it really gets fun. We witnessed something that I have never seen before in an NFL game. And I challenge anyone to pull up another clip where they've seen something like this happen. I've been watching football since I was like 6 years old. I have never seen anything like what we saw with this two-point conversion. I'm still confused, to be quite honest, on this two-point conversion. Like, I understand at the end of it, and like I understand the explanation, but I'm still confused on the rules and why this is a rule. But Sam Darnold, we've all seen the play at this point. For those who may have been sleeping or, you know, had other things that you had to attend to or maybe live under a rock, Sam Darnold throws the quick pass out to Zach Charbonnet. Ball goes backwards, deflects off the helmet of Jared Verse, falls down. Everyone thinks it's incomplete. The referees go out there, they blow the whistle. The play is dead. Ball bounces into the end zone, and, you know, it's picked up by Zach Charbonnet. But it's like Zach Charbonnet picks it up and we all think to ourselves, okay, like this, that's that normally happens on any given play. Like a player picks up the loose ball on the ground and that's where we go. No one thinks anything of it because the whistle blew dead, indicating once again that the play was over. The whistle blew. It's done. We're good. Over, failed two-point conversion, right? Wrong. Because ring, 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 ring. It's our old buddies from New York. I love New York. They say, oh, New York buzzes in. Like, when is New York supposed to buzz in? New York randomly decides when they want to participate in a particular game. But ring, ring, ring. Hey, it's New York. What's up, Brad Allen? They talk to Brad Allen and his crew and say, we got to take a look at this play. And I thought Amazon's rule analyst, Terry McCauley, he did a tremendous job explaining it. I'm still not so sure on the explanation, but he did a good job explaining it and said that, hey, this ball was a backwards pass. And because it was a backwards pass, this is a live ball. And it should be ruled as a successful try because we have a clear and obvious recovery by Zach Charbonnet in the end zone. And McCauley later tweeted this out yesterday after the game last night and explained it more in depth on Twitter, saying this, quote, when a backward pass is ruled forward and incomplete, replay can reverse if there is a clear recovery in the immediate continuing action. The recovering team is awarded the ball at the spot of recovery. Let me make this perfectly clear, is what he also added. Whether a whistle is blown or not is completely irrelevant. I did not know that was a thing in football. I'm sorry. I'm sure a lot of you out there listening, you've played football before. Like, I played football in middle school and high school. Like, you always hear, like, play to the whistle. The whistle blew. I didn't know you could do some extracurricular afterwards. Charbonnet recovers the ball after the whistle blew, and apparently that's irrelevant according to the rules on a backwards pass. So, bang, two-point conversion, good. We're all knotted up at 30. Like, unbelievable that this happened. I thought they were dead to right. They look dead to right. And all of a sudden, now we have a brand new ball game. And Sean McVay, after the game, he said, I've never heard of that rule. Sean McVay's been a part of football longer than I have, longer than all of us have had. He's never seen anything like that happen. Matthew Stafford said he's never seen anything like that happen. I didn't know it was possible for something to count after a whistle was blown, but I guess we learned something new every single day. But after all of that happens, I mean, okay, it's tied up. The Rams still had opportunities to win this football game. Like, you look at the Rams' drive chart in the fourth quarter and what they were doing. I mean, for an offense that was humming along and for an offense that was getting whatever they wanted against a really good Seahawks defense, after they scored the touchdown, here's the Rams' drive chart. It was punt, punt, missed field goal, punt. And of course, you know, we have to add the missed field goal in there because the Rams special teams has been doing them in all season. Yeah, Harrison Mavis or Mavis, however the hell you say his name, the thicker kicker. No, like, this guy's a bum. The Rams need to go find a kicker. He misses from 48 yards. So now we're going to overtime, and overtime was electric as well. Seahawks win the coin toss. They decide to kick because that's what you should do because both teams are going to get a possession. So you want to at least know what you need to win the game. Matthew Stafford on that first drive, I mean, he picked up right where he left off in the third quarter, didn't he? I mean, right to Puka Nacua, hits him in stride for a 41-yard touchdown. Bang. Rams now have a 37-30 lead. All right, can they get the stop? The answer to that question is no. Because, as I said, Sam Darnold earned his stripes last night. Legacy drive. And it felt kind of like a legacy drive for Sam Darnold. Hits JSN. We're moving the chains. Beautiful ball to Cooper Kupp, who made a great catch along the sidelines, looking like vintage Cooper Kupp. And then a few plays later, hits JSN in the end zone. All right, 37-36. What you gonna do, Mike McDonald? We all knew what he was gonna do. He had to make the decision. I saw people talking about, oh, what a gutsy decision. No, what's gutsy about it? Go try to win the game, man. Like, that's the whole point of taking the ball second, is that you know that you can win the game on your possession and the other team can't. So Mike McDonald says, we're going for two. Clint Kubiak draws up a really nice play. Eric Sorbert is the one who catches the ball wide open in the end zone. Seahawks win. Seahawks take over first place in the NFC West. And now the path is clear for the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, they're minus 140 at BetMGM to be the one seed, minus 145 to win the NFC West. Like, you look at their schedule, I know they're on the road, but at Panthers, manageable game. We talked about that yesterday. The look aheads on that, Seattle's laying 7.5. At the 49ers to end the season, like, that's a winnable game. Like, we're very likely going to be talking about the number one seeded Seattle Seahawks. And on the other side, the Rams have to be absolutely kicking themselves. Because to have the kind of offensive production that they had without Davante Adams, mind you, and to not be able to pull this game out is a sickening feeling. And add it to the list of inexplicable losses by the Rams this season. Blocked field goal against the Eagles. Tomfoolery on a Thursday night against the 49ers that knocked us out of Survivor. Stafford's turnovers against the Panthers, and last night, blowing a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter. If this team does not make it to the Super Bowl, they will be pointing to all of those results, but especially what happened last night in Seattle, blowing that lead as to why they're at home instead of playing on that Sunday in February in Santa Clara for the Lombardi Trophy. We'll talk more about the Rams on the other side as we're just getting started here on a Friday on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys here on this Friday. 40 minutes from right now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on what we saw last night. Game of the year, and that is no hyperbole. This was a legitimately awesome football game. Is it the best Thursday night game ever? Like, I don't even know what, like, the Mount Rushmore of Thursday night football games would even be, because we see a lot of slop usually on Thursday nights. But to me, like, recency bias or not, I think it's the best Thursday night football game we've ever seen. This game was awesome. Yeah, well, Bill put Thanksgiving games. Like, I think we got to take Thanksgiving out of it. Thanksgiving is its own right. Like, I don't even count Thanksgiving as, like, Thursday football. Like, Thanksgiving is just, it's its own thing. But in terms of, like, normal Thursday night football games, and also opening day, like, opening kickoff, it's also out of the equation. So I know we're narrowing it down here, but in terms of, like, the pure TNF that we usually get, I thought it was the best game we've ever seen in Thursday night football. And we'll talk more about that with Nick coming up at 4 o'clock. 20 minutes from now, we'll break down all the popular sides in the NFL and college football over at BetMGM. Who's everyone betting? And my thoughts on those games. We'll break that down in the next segment. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. I know you agree with me, Bill. Like, last night, it's the game of the year. I don't think there was a better game that we've seen so far this NFL season. Lived up to all the expectations and then some with the Seahawks coming out victorious.
Yeah, Femi, I think, like, that Baltimore-Buffalo game from the start of the season was the one we, like, circled, right? Oh, did we already see the game of the year in week one? That's the only one that at least jumps off the page at me, but I think this one was still more compelling, more interesting. And like I said in the group text last night, like, Sam Darnold should be, like, a thrill ride in like, an NFL-themed amusement park. Like, it is just a roller coaster, you know, drive in and drive out with him. It was absolutely, it was an incredible game. And like you said, best Thursday night game. The only one I can even consider is about a year ago with the same Seattle Seahawks when they faced the Bears. And it was, you know, that 6-3 epic game.
I remember I was on a flight back from Minnesota because it was around this time of year. I think it was like week 17.
It was December 26th.
Yes,
December 26th.
Because we had spent Christmas with my wife's family up in Minnesota, and we're flying back to Vegas, and like I'm like, I gotta get the Wi-Fi ready to roll, so like I'm watching the game on my laptop, and I'm just like, this game is pitiful. like it was just a horrendous game, and somehow the Bears covered the number without scoring an offense. Like, it's just a dreadful game, but we won money on
so I guess
it was all gravy. But yes, that game was will not be in the pantheon of Thursday Night Football. I don't think Amazon Prime is gonna be champion. That game when we look back at this 10, 20 years from right now. But let's continue to talk about what we saw last night, because there's still a lot more to unpack. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this Friday afternoon?
Yeah, you got it, Femi. This one was too good to be contained in one segment. So let's talk a little bit more about the Rams-Seahawks, and let's start right now with the post game, because after some, let's call them questionable decisions on a live stream earlier in the week from Puka Nacua, he took to social media after this game and tweeted out another shot at the officials. The media asked Sean McVay about it after the game and asked him to respond.
Taking like a veiled shot at the rest of the refs. I mean,
what are you talking about?
You just put something on Twitter a couple minutes
ago. Yeah, so what are you asking me right now?
Are you okay?
I can't answer questions about something that I'm not aware of.
Okay, but are you okay with players kind of expressing frustration over things like that? Or is that something that you hope that they kind of keep to themselves?
I gotta have more information before I answer any of those kind of questions.
I mean, Sean McVay, not play. I know Puka's a great player. He's making headlines for the right and wrong reasons in the same week after his huge performance.
I mean, like, Sean McVay, this starts off like this is Frost Nixon, and it's like Watergate. I am not a crook. You know, like, I'm like, goodness gracious. He's like, what are you asking me? And in fairness to Sean McVay, he probably had no idea that Puka tweeted that stuff. Because, like, why would he? The game just ended. Like, I doubt Sean McVay's after the game has said, hey, let me fire up Twitter to see what people are saying about the game that I was just involved in. So he had no clue. And I think it even made him that much angrier. The fact that he learned it from the reporters, and it's just like, another Puka thing, like, come on, after the week that we've already had. And McVay was also asked about, like, you know, like, hey, like, have you had conversations with Puka? And he also brought up, like, the Puka Nacua, that he had to issue the statement for the live stream appearance that he had earlier in the week. Like, it's been a week for Puka Nacua, and it's so unfortunate because, one, like, even though he was correct, because I did think that crew was terrible last night, Brad Allen, I don't know what that crew was doing, the unnecessary roughness penalty that was called earlier in overtime, where I'm just like, he actually just made a tackle, and if he doesn't tackle him, he's going to score. So how is that unnecessary roughness? It felt very necessary, to be quite honest, as opposed to unnecessary. So, like, this crew sucks, and I think that crew should be suspended, that Brad Allen crew. They should never work a playoff game, because if they do, look out, because it's going to be some tomfoolery in that game. So, like, I understand Puka's frustration, but after the week you had, you can't be the one tweeting that stuff. In fact, just delete Twitter off the phone. Like, just delete it. Delete it. And if you feel the urge to tweet something, think long and hard whether you want to log on to your tablet or your desktop or whatever, your laptop, whatever the hell you got going on for your computer situation. Like, think long and hard before you have to log on to that. But you should not be able to just fire away from your phone, because that's how you get yourself into trouble. And Puka Nacua, bro, just chill. You're going to become the highest paid receiver in 6 months. You had a hell of a football game, which is what we should be talking about first and foremost. 225 yards, 12 catches without Davante Adams. They were spamming him all night, and the Seahawks had no answer to stop him. But unfortunately, he just can't help himself. The Twitter fingers were active a little bit too much, and Puka Nacua now gets fined by the NFL 25 large for his comments last night. But a last thing with McVay, like, honestly, I actually thought he handled that very well, because I would have been pissed off too with the way that game ended. And the fact that he was able to compose himself later on after feeling like he was under attack and very, very angry, kudos to Sean McVay for handling that. But Puka, get your act right, bro, because the talent is immense. But, like, let's just kind of rein it in here and just be a little bit more normal. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, let's do another one here on this Rams-Seahawks game, because we talked about it before the game that if Matthew Stafford played well and beat Seattle, that the MVP would probably be his. Well, obviously, he did not beat Seattle. He does throw for 457 yards and 3 touchdowns, drove his team down to take the go-ahead touchdown in overtime, or, of course, Seattle comes down, scores the winning touchdown and winning 2-point conversion. Femi, Stafford now -225 to win MVP over at BetMGM. Is the award his?
Yeah, this is the real trick bag, right? Because when we're talking about this game on Wednesday, or the MVP market on Wednesday, the whole thing was, hey, if they lose, this is going to really open things up for a Josh Allen or a Drake May. And I think the door is somewhat open, but because Stafford was so damn good in the game, I think Stafford's going to end up winning the MVP. And I know that's not like a hot take or whatever. It's not like, hey, like breaking news. Wow. Stafford, the -225 favorites, likely to win it. But I still think that he, like, barring Josh Allen doing something Herculean, which is possible. He is Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks that we have in the NFL. So it's possible. But barring something crazy over these next couple of weeks, and we'll see two Allen games before we see Stafford play, which will be next Monday night, not this upcoming Monday night, but the one after that. Like, it's going to have to be something insane for Josh Allen to take this award, because we've seen some voters, and shout out to ESPN's Dan Orlovsky. He's one of the AP voters, and he was talking, hey, if Matthew Stafford leads this touchdown drive, he's going to take back the MVP. I'm like, first of all, like, take back? Isn't he the favorite? what's he taking back? Like, this seems insane to me. But like, Dan Orlovsky has been saying that, you know, Josh Allen and Stafford are kind of neck and neck, and that is one voter. That's not all 50 voters. That's one voter. But if you look at that tweet and you look at a lot of the replies and what people are saying, other voters even, I think everyone still recognizes Matthew Stafford as the guy. And this game, I think looking back on it, this might actually remind us a little bit of what we saw last year in that Bills-Rams game. If you remember that one, that high-scoring game, so Josh Allen, I believe, had 6 touchdowns, but the Rams won the game. And that whole thing was, oh man, this opened things up for like Saquon or for Lamar to win it. But even with the 6 touchdowns, everyone's like, okay, they lost, but like, Josh Allen is still the best. He still had 6 touchdowns. He's still the MVP. I don't know if I get 100% those vibes with last night, but it almost feels like a cousin of that performance from Josh Allen, to where even in defeat, Matthew Stafford is still your front runner. So as someone who is invested in Josh Allen, here's the strategy. Let's hope Josh Allen balls out of control against the Browns on Sunday, and then maybe we can get Matthew Stafford at like a -150 price or something that's a lot more palatable to hedge than -225, because I do think at the end of the day, this will be Matthew Stafford's MVP, which pains me to say because I was hoping for Josh Allen. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, let's stay in the NFL. Let's talk about another big game this weekend that we haven't spent too much time on yet this week. Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, for the Panthers, their rookie wide receiver, Tet McMillan, he'd been dealing with this ankle foot issue this week. He is off the injury report and good to go. That is obviously good news for the Panthers, as they are the home team welcoming in the Tampa Bay Bucs. But the Bucs, Femi, still a 3-point road favorite.
Yeah, this is a massive, massive football game. We've been talking a lot, obviously, about what we saw last night, the Rams and the Seahawks. There's a very good chance that the winner of Sunday's game between the Bucs and the Panthers will likely be hosting the Los Angeles Rams in that wild card round. So, like, this is an all eyeballs need to be on this game, because, yes, it's the NFC South, and maybe these aren't the biggest of brands or whatever, but this is a very impactful game for the NFC playoff picture. Tet McMillan being good to go, that's massive for the Carolina Panthers. They need him because he's their best wide receiver. O-line looks like they're going to be healthy-ish. Ike Ekwonu, their left tackle, back on the practice field earlier this afternoon. If he's good to go, I'm good to go with Carolina. I think this number at 3 is a bet on the Panthers. This is their desired role as an underdog. Like, Carolina, I mean, when's the last time they covered as a favorite? It's been like, what, 2 years, 3 years, something like that? Like, it's been a long time since they've covered as a favorite. They don't have to be favorite status on Sunday. And I think this is where we see them kind of go back to that ball control offense, shorten the game. Let's make the possessions high leverage. In some way, like, they've just been a little bit better than Tampa, I think, this year. Tampa has more talent, and Tampa should have the higher ceiling. But based on what you've seen from Tampa, do you trust them? Like, I don't. I don't trust the Buccaneers. And especially the lay points, it just seems all bad to me. So I'm betting Panthers +3. I think they win the game and they protect home field advantage. And we're talking about week 18 being that kind of decisive game on who will win the NFC South. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Baby, let's move over to college football, because we have the college football playoff kicking off tonight. It will be doing so from Norman, Oklahoma, as the Alabama Crimson Tide are in town to face those Oklahoma Sooners. Now, this is the 8-9 matchup. The winner will face Indiana. And Femi, over at BetMGM, Oklahoma right now, a 1.5-point favorite to Total points here, 40 and a half.
I think I'm on like an island with this game. I think everyone I've talked to, everyone that we've listened to, everyone that I've read, it feels like everyone likes Oklahoma in this game. I don't know, man. I'm rolling with Alabama. Roll Tide. I think Alabama wins this football game. And I guess a lot of like recreational bettors, a lot of public bettors, I think they're on the Alabama Crimson Tide, as we'll break down coming up in the next segment. But I just think the coaching matchup, even though Brent Venables has been able to dominate Kalen DeBoer since DeBoer joined the SEC and joined Alabama, they've beaten Alabama twice, back-to-back years. I just think Alabama's better. And I cannot shake what we saw last month when these two teams played. Like, I bet Oklahoma. This is not me being like anti-boomer soon or anything like that. I bet Oklahoma last month, and I watched that game. Alabama should have won and covered. Now, they didn't. So, like, Alabama making mistakes and goofing off on special teams and not being all the way dialed in. Maybe we see a repeat of that and OU wins again. But if Alabama, who has a little bit of extended rest, and I think we're getting Alabama a little bit of a discount. I know, like, hey, they're only one point dog on the road in a tough environment. But, like, this is a team that I think is just better. And I think a lot of people can't shake the Iron Bowl and how Alabama had to pull that one out of the hat. They can't shake what we saw in the SEC title game where Georgia absolutely demolished them. This is when I want to buy in on Kalen DeBoer. This is when I want to buy in on Ty Simpson, who maybe he's dealing with something because he hasn't looked like the guy that we saw in October and in early November. Maybe something's going on, but I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to see it. I'm rolling with Alabama. I think they win the game, and then they go to the Rose Bowl to take on Indiana, which I don't think that will go well. I think Indiana's going to beat them, but I think Alabama at least advances, and Kalen DeBoer can at least cool off some of the chatter that's going around Tuscaloosa, where he might not be on like a scorching hot seat, but he's on a pretty hot seat for a guy who has his team in the CFP. Bill, hit me with the last one before we had to break.
All right, Femi, let's finish up with some boxing, because tonight we have a boxing match to talk about. It is Jake Paul fighting Anthony Joshua. You go over to BetMGM and look at the odds here. Paul, a heavy underdog, plus 650 to win the fight. Femi, Joshua is minus 1,200.
The fact that this is a fight that is happening tonight is insane. It's insane. Like, Anthony Joshua, what was it, like 5-6 years ago, he's fighting Deontay Wilder, and he's fighting what's my man's name, the guy that Wilder was, Tyson Fury. Like, he's fighting all these dudes, and now he's fighting Jake Paul, who he's way bigger than, mind you. So that's where like the alarms have to be sounding off, because it's a Jake Paul fight. Like, we all saw what happened with Mike Tyson and how that worked out, and we handicapped that one beautifully. Paul Tyson to go the distance, and it did. I haven't decided what I want to do with tonight's fight. Is it to go the distance? Because I don't know if it will, man. Joshua can knock this dude out in like the first round if he really wanted to. But is there kind of a wink-wink sort of agreement to where, hey, man, just don't embarrass Jake Paul and let's all get rich at the end of this thing? So I'm still going back and forth, but I will be watching later on this evening. All right, we'll break down all the popular betting sides in the NFL and college football next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, You get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
All right, let's get back to it here on a Friday on the BetMGM Network. Of course, this is You Better You Bet presented by BetMGM. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Costos with his thoughts on last night's Thursday night football game that saw the Seahawks beat the Rams in dramatic fashion, 38-37. Do we owe Sam Darnold an apology? I don't think so. Like, I don't know. I watched the game, man. He kind of still looked like how he usually looks. But now I will give him credit, though, for like the back half of the fourth quarter and for overtime. Like those were big time drives. So like he deserves credit, but I don't think he deserves like an apology. Like I know everyone always has like the memes of like the apology letter, like fill this out. Like, nah, you can keep that. Like, cause we saw the first 3 quarters and change, and no, we don't need to apologize after seeing that. So the journey continues with Sam Darnold. And I mean, Bill talked about it in the last segment, said it's like a roller coaster ride, the Darnold coaster. But we'll see what he does in the playoffs, because boy, if they continue to win like they have been, they're likely going to be the 1 seed. They're going to have that bye week. And then all eyes in the divisional round. Can this guy keep it together in the playoffs? And it's a good chance that we maybe see a rematch with the Rams going back to the Pacific Northwest. Like, that could be your 5-1 matchup in the divisional round. And if we get that game, based on the last few games against the Rams, I think that might be a Rams bet for me. But hey, like, on this day, we have a lot of time to go until then. On this day, we at least need to give Sam Darnold some credit for what he did last night. So Nick will talk a lot about that coming up in the next segment. Of course, we'll get to the CFP. We got Colin Wilson, Ryan Horvath, Raheem Palmer. They're joining us all throughout the 5 o'clock hour. But let's spend the rest of this hour talking about the most popular betting sides in the NFL and in college football. So these sides and all these ticket counts and data is, of course, courtesy of our friends over at BetMGM. John Ewing always pushing this stuff out. A very interesting follow on Twitter, so go ahead and hit him up at John Ewing. But for the NFL, most bet sides in terms of ticket count in the NFL will go from 5-1. The 5th most popular side this Sunday is the Buffalo Bills laying 10.5 against the Cleveland Browns. Now, I saw this number earlier this week. I think Sunday after the games, I want to say this opened 10. And I thought to myself, like, yeah, like that just seems like the right number. Like 10 is where we should be at. At Buffalo, it looks like their injury report's a little bit better than what we expected. So that's why I think we've gone from 10 to 10.5. This number just feels right to me. I'm not really like running to back the Buffalo Bills laying 10.5. I think we're just good there. And I'm definitely not running to bet the Cleveland Browns plus the points. Now, it's an interesting matchup because we were talking a little bit about the MVP in the last segment. This Browns defense is really good. So I wouldn't expect this to be like the Josh Allen, like, oh, he's about to go off. Like, if, I mean, obviously you have to start him if you have him on your fantasy team, but like, this isn't like a great matchup in terms of like expecting a lot of points and expecting a lot of production from those Bills skill guys, because Myles Garrett and that Browns defense has been legit. And speaking of Myles Garrett, I mean, he's looking to make history as the single season sack leader. Like, this dude has been putting together an unreal season, and he is going to be your runaway defensive player of the year. But this game just feels right to me. I understand people want to back Buffalo. There's a lot of excitement for the Bills. No more Chiefs in the playoffs. They erased a 21-point deficit last Sunday, so people want to be in, and I understand that. I'll just be on the sidelines, and I'll be watching the game, and I'll be rooting for Josh Allen to have the game of his life to allow us to maybe bet some Matthew Stafford. So that's Bills Browns, Bills, fifth most popular side at BetMGM. The fourth most popular side is the New England Patriots, +3, Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens. You can kind of see this one coming a mile away. New England's been the better team so far in 2025, I should say. My goodness, we're almost in 2026, and I'm saying 2024. What's going on? New England's been the better team this season. But, and it's a big but, they still haven't played anyone, you know, outside of Buffalo, and they split with the Bills. They beat them Sunday night way back when in October, and that's a really impressive win. Lost to the Bills this past Sunday, but outside of those games, I mean, the win that we fought against Tampa, that was like, oh man, what a win. I mean, look at Tampa now. Like, are we sure that's like some big time win? Like, the Patriots, and this is not their fault, because you can only play who's on the schedule, and this, we've known these schedules since last, like, spring. So this is not like they like rigged this somehow, but like, the facts are the facts. They really haven't beat like a murderer's row. Now, Baltimore's not really like some like great team this year, but they do have a ceiling. And I think that's what the betting market is tapping into, as the Ravens putting them as a 3-point favorite here. Now, the big thing for Baltimore that we have to keep in mind is that Kyle Hamilton, their stud safety, all-world safety, he was listed as questionable today, added to the injury report with an ankle injury. If Kyle Hamilton can't go in this game, I don't understand why people are betting New England +3. But if he's healthy and he's good to go, and Lamar Jackson, it sounds like he has taken his NyQuil, his DayQuil, his Theraflu, whatever the hell he needed to take after he had his annual illness earlier this week and missed the Wednesday practice. If Lamar's good to go, I would be on the Baltimore side before I was on the New England side. Like, I want to see where this goes, because there's a chance that maybe we get a 2.5 before kickoff. If we get 2.5, I'll lay it with the Baltimore Ravens. If it's 3, I'll just sit and watch the game, because I think the Ravens are going to win it. But at 2.5, it's a bet on Baltimore. So let's just keep an eye on this game throughout the weekend. Your third most popular side is the Denver Broncos laying 3 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is one I agree with. And we talked about this on Monday when we did the Week 16 look-aheads. And I said, hey, Denver laying 3 is a bet for me. I love their home field advantage, and I love this spot for them. Even though that they're coming off a big win against Green Bay, I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at Jacksonville and saying, hey, look at this offense. Look what they can do. Trevor Lawrence is playing some of his best football of his career. Liam Cohen is in the Coach of the Year conversation. I think Denver is going to like be a big step up in competition from what Jacksonville has been playing as of late. And right now, I'm actually looking at the betting market. Like, because this was so damn popular, I mean, we're out to 3.5. We're now 3.5, which I agree with. So at 3.5, I wouldn't bet anything. But as we talked about earlier in the week, you should have a better number on the Denver Broncos laying the 3. The second most popular side at BetMGM is the Philadelphia Eagles laying 7 tomorrow afternoon or evening, if you're on the East Coast, against the Washington Commanders. Now, this is a game that I have bet. And this is a side where I will be Oppo Taco of the public bettors here. I like Washington. At the full 7, I bet the Commanders. Now, it's not a great injury report. Of course, like, Laremy Tunsil's not going to be playing in the game. You would love to have him against this Eagles pass rush. Marcus Mariota, who I think has been solid in relief for Jaden Daniels all throughout this season. Like, the there's a drop-off. It's significant, but it's not like a 6-point drop-off. Like, this is not Mahomes to Minshew. Like, this is more like, okay, like, maybe a 3-point drop-off, you know, like 2.5, 3 points or so. Like, Mariota's been pretty good this season, has played a decent amount and has a lot of experience. And he's mobile, which is always a good thing when you have an underdog. Like, a mobile quarterback, keep the chains moving, we like that. I just think Philly on the O-line for them, they're banged up. You know, Lane Johnson continues to be hurt. Landon Dickerson has been banged up. Like, this offensive line is not the Eagles O-line that I believe we will see once we get to the playoffs. And if that's the case, I just don't think that we should be in the business of betting Philadelphia to win by margin. Even though I love their defense, I just think that this is going to be a more competitive game than what the betting market thinks. So like Eagles by 4, Eagles by 6, yeah, those are very likely outcomes. And if that happens, we fall in the number and we win. So Commanders plus 7 is a bet for yours truly. And the number one most bet side at BetMGM in the NFL is tomorrow night. And it's the Chicago Bears laying the 1.5 against the Green Bay Packers. And I'm looking at a sports book that's pretty sharp here in Las Vegas. There is a 2 that is out there. Boy, oh boy. Big expectations now for the Bears. No longer the frisky underdog. No longer can they just keep it competitive with Big Brother. Nah, expectation is that the Bears will win this football game. I'm on the opposite side. Talked about this yesterday. Earlier in the week, I thought I was going to be on Chicago if maybe it was like Packers small favorite or pick 'em. Now that we're out to Bears laying points, and I'm looking at the money line prices right now, best that you can find is Green Bay plus 108. I think you're going to see some more Chicago money. We'll never get to 3 because like that would immediately get bet. But I think we're going to see some 2.5 like tomorrow, like right before kickoff. So I will be lying in wait. I will just be patient, and I'll see all that Chicago money enter the market. Don't talk about fallen heroes. Like, this is a fallen hero spot for the Green Bay Packers. Micah Parsons tears his ACL. Now no one wants anything to do with Green Bay. Like, everyone was just jamming Green Bay all last week. The week prior against Chicago when it was played at Lambeau Field, everyone's jamming Green Bay. And now, on this Saturday game, everyone wants Chicago? Like, I don't know. I think this was a little bit too much too soon for this Bears team. I think Pick'em is the right number in this game. But now that we are no longer at Pick'em, it's Green Bay for me. So I'm betting the Green Bay Packers. I think Green Bay is going to win this game. The injuries for the Chicago Bears are also pretty impactful as well. Luther Burden and Roma Dunze, this passing game will be a little bit neutered with those guys out. And for the Packers, I just trust in their coaching staff, even though I like Chicago's coaching staff quite a bit. Ben Johnson's awesome. Dennis Allen is awesome. I just think the Packers, who have been there, done that in these kind of spots with LaFleur, I trust them a little bit more in a coin flip game. So give me Green Bay tomorrow night. Let's get to college football before we wrap things up here. The most bet sides for this weekend's CFP. The fourth most bet side is it's Ole Miss laying the 17.5. We're now down to 17 with that game. It's Ole Miss or pass for me. I haven't decided if I'm going to lay it because the dynamics are still weird with Pete Golding, who we don't even know if he's a good coach. Like, who knows how this is going to go? But I will say this, Ole Miss has way better players. So, like, the team that has way better players, they're at home. Home teams dominated in the first round of the CFP last year. I think I might get there with Ole Miss, but that's the side that I would be on. Third most popular, it's A&M laying 3.5 against Miami. I am 100% against this one. Talked about this when we found out the games on Sunday and Monday a couple of weeks ago. I think Miami wins. So I'll have some plus 3. I'll definitely have some Miami money line. I think Miami in the trenches will be a little bit too much for A&M to overcome. A&M's whole resume has been built up on playing the bottom half of the SEC. They will get no credit from me for that. So give me Cristobal and the Hurricanes, and may God have mercy on my soul. Second most popular side is Oregon laying the 20.5. I love this bet. I think Oregon's going to blow them out. Like, it's just a mismatch. It's on paper. James Madison's actually been having a lot of fun with like their Twitter account or whatever, like James Madison Sports, whatever it is. They've been kind of poking a lot of fun about this matchup, and they understand what they're getting themselves into. It's going to be a buzzsaw at Autzen Stadium. Oregon's going to run them out of the building. I will lay the 20.5. And then the most popular side, I'm with the betting public. Alabama plus the 1.5. We're now getting Alabama at 1. I think Alabama just wins the game. So Alabama money line will be my bet later on this evening. All right, that does it for the 3 o'clock hour. On the other side, Nick Kostos will join us to recap the game of the year in the NFL that saw the Seahawks beat the Rams.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.